All right, grab your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Before this world was ever created, Jesus was foreordained to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, and to die for the sins of the world. All the details of his birth were foretold centuries before. They were all accurately fulfilled. But why Christmas? Why Christmas? There's many, many reasons why people celebrate Christmas. And I went on the website and I came up with 10 top reasons for celebrating Christmas. So as you're opening to Luke chapter 4, I'll give you the reason number 10. Reason number 10 is the big companies need more money. Reason number 9, you have a good excuse to dress up in a goofy red suit. Reason number 8, you like to stay in debt with your credit cards. Reason number, 7, you forget about that diet for the day. Reason number 6, the kids, and you mean you, don't have enough toys. Number 5, what better way to spend your holidays than with the in-laws? Number 4, you get to sit up and wait a long time for Santa to come. Number 3, you get to play with your kids' toys. Reason number 2 is you get to eat and eat and eat and eat. And the number one reason why many people celebrate Christmas is you just can't beat the smile on the children's face that Christmas day. However, we celebrate Christmas for completely different reasons. We celebrate completely different reasons. Luke chapter 4, we're jumping ahead 30 years in Jesus' life. Jesus has been born. Jesus has gone to the temple at age 12 and confounded the authorities. Jesus went back and submitted himself to his parents for another 18 years or so. And now we've got Jesus here at age 30. He's been tempted. He's been put into the wilderness for 40 days. And we read a little bit about that temptation there. And now Jesus Christ is beginning his public ministry. And when we get down to Luke chapter 4, in verse 16, we read, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and this is what he said: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Reason number 1. Reason number 2, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Reason number 3, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Reason number 4, the recovery of sight to the blind. And lastly, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So what purpose did Jesus come? What was his intent? What was his mission statement? To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised. So what we're going to do is we're going to very quickly work through each of these five statements as to why do we celebrate Christmas? What is the big deal about a birth almost 2,000 years ago? Well, statement number 1 there, as you see there in verse 18, was he came to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel simply means the good news. Can you read that print up there on the screen? Yes, no? Some are saying yes. Good. Okay, the gospel. Again, Paul very quickly and concisely states what the gospel is. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, in which also you have received, in which you stand." And here it is now. Where are we? "If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died according for our sins, according to the Scripture. and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That Christ came, lived, was crucified, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That is the gospel. And Jesus came to preach this gospel to the poor. The poor. The poor are the ones who are literally begging. It's in a constant state of poverty. It's in a constant state of being destitute. Now, the poor. From the gospel, as we tie the poor in here, Jesus isn't talking about those who are financially poor. That's not the audience that Jesus is talking about. Jesus Christ is not coming to make people monetarily rich. In fact, regardless of what some of the TV evangelists state, I would challenge you to go through any of the New Testament and find anywhere in the New Testament that Jesus made anyone rich. But he was coming to preach this good news, the gospel, to the poor. The poor. We are poor. But we're not talking monetarily. So in what ways are we poor? We are poor in that we each owe God a huge debt of sin. And as we memorized last year as we were working through those verses, the wages of sin is? Yeah, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came to give the good news to those who are spiritually poor. We are, and again, it's still true today, and I've said it a few times before, but time never does heal sins. And time never forgives sin. So even if we've committed sins, whether it's with God or with each other, and that was months ago, and maybe it was even now a year ago, just because 11 or 12 months have gone by doesn't mean those sins are gone. Time does not forgive sin. Jesus Christ does. And that's why he came. In fact, Matthew 18, you know, we have that parable of the rich man, and then we have the parable of the two debtors. And the king, the rich man, made the account. I guess it was near the end of his tax year. And he did a reckoning. And he found a man who owed him 10,000 talents. And that would be a picture of us with just an inconceivable amount of debt that we owe God. A debt that there's no way we could even conceivably pay it off. It's more than we could ever pay off. So Jesus Christ came to preach the good news to the spiritually poor. He came to preach that your sins can be forgiven, that you can be pardoned. If you and I will but believe that we are sinners, if you and I will believe that our sin debt is beyond what we are able to pay for, it's more than what we can take care of. If we believe that you and I need to be saved from our debt of sin, if we believe that the only hope of this forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, and if we will but by faith ask Him to forgive us of our sins, then we can be saved. And we can enjoy this freedom that He is offering to us. This good news to the poor. Just think about it. You and I, we can have peace with God. The Bible kind of says that before we are saved, we are all under the wrath of God. We don't have that verse up on the screen there, but you know, Psalm 7:11 says that God is a righteous and holy God, and that God is angry at the wicked every single day. So we are all as sinners under the wrath of God. We are in an estranged relationship with God. Do you know that even still today, there are creatures surrounding the throne of God, and they are crying nonstop, day and night. Some of you know, what are they crying out day and night? Holy, holy, holy. Our God is a God who cannot stand sin. Whether what we think it would be a little black lie or a great big white lie. God cannot stand sin. And Jesus Christ came to preach the good news to those of us who are spiritually destitute. Those of us who are spiritually poor. We are hugely in debt to God. And we can't pay it off. But Jesus Christ will allow us to use Him as our substitute. He can die in our place. And just by simple faith, we can have that sin debt removed, released, paid for, and we can have a peaceful enjoyment with God. Some of you have been with us here on the past few Sundays as we've been going through 1 Peter. And it says there that He has begotten us again to a new and a living hope. That's what happens. We can be begotten again into His family. And we can be at peace with God. Good news to the poor. Point number C, if you're following the back of the bulletin, I see some of you are. We can have a home in heaven. We can have a home in heaven. Even though probably many of us here are not going to become incredibly rich, we still have to an inheritance that's indefiled, that fadeth not away, what is reserved in heaven for you and I. The good news is that Jesus Christ came here to live and to die among men, for men, and that Christ came back to life on the third day that you and I can be saved. We can have peace with God. As John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Many believe. As we were going through Luke 4, did you notice how many times Satan quoted the Scriptures? And even the demons said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Many believe, but not everybody receives it. And that's what we're looking for. People who would be willing to receive Christ as their Savior. So if your spirit is dried up within you, and there is just a void in your life that you've been trying to fill all your life, but nothing has fully satisfied it. I mean, it takes the pain. It's like, you know, if I've got really a rotten tooth and there's exposed nerves, if I take some Aleve or some aspirin or some Motrin, the pain maybe will be lessened or go away for a little while, but when the pill dissolves and works through my system, the pain comes back. And maybe we could pop a few more pills and maybe the pain will go away for a while, but it's going to come back. And there's that emptiness, and maybe there's that void in your life, and you've tried to satisfy it with some things, and for a while it has. But then it kind of goes away, and that emptiness and that void continues to come back. You can have the real meaning of Christmas today. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be assured of a home in heaven. You can be guaranteed that you're no longer in an estranged relationship with God, but that you're not one of His family. Truly are a child of God. The second statement is to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. To heal has the idea of to cure, to renew. Many people are really heart sick. There are many people who are soul sick. They are diseased to the core of their essence. And Jesus Christ came that we might be made whole. That we might be made well, that we could be renewed. He came to heal the brokenhearted. The hearted, again, He's not talking about doing cardiac surgery 2,000 years ago. The word heart is the single most comprehensive term for that inner man. From the heart comes a man's words, his actions, his attitudes, his responses to life. From the heart comes one's emotions. It's the core of one's being. It is this heart, the core of one being, that we ask Jesus to control when we ask Him to save us from our sins. We heard recently of a mother, their child is a little young, and they were asking to if Jesus could come into his heart, and then maybe asking Jesus to get out of their heart. And is God going to fit their heart? And would it hurt if Jesus really did come into their heart? Well, when we as adults that have a little bit more cognitive ability and we're able to deal with more abstract concepts a little clearly, when we're asking Jesus to come into our heart and to save us, we're asking Him to come into the core of our being, where that void is, where that just, you know, life just isn't matching up. It's just, there's just out of sync. And we want to be saved. We ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. And we ask Him and we invite Him into our heart to control then the essence of our life. And here in Luke 4, Jesus is saying, "I'm coming to heal hearts." hearts that are broken. Broken is a very harsh term. Shattered, smashed, crushed. And for many people, they are walking around with broken hearts. Synonyms of the broken heart would be chronically depressed. Clinical depression, despondent, despair, downcast, cries often, cries easily. It would be as Ephesians 2 would say, without hope, without God. And unfortunately, during this holiday season, there will probably be an increase in the number of suicides. These are the ones who Jesus Christ came to heal. These who are broken hearted. Their inner core is just not worth living anymore. There is just an ache that cannot be satisfied. There is just a despondency, a depression, a despair that just cannot be removed. And Jesus Christ, as you invite Him into that inner core of your being, asking Him to forgive you of your sins, He will put a new song in your heart. He will put peace in your heart. He will put an overwhelming love of God into your heart. Psalm 40 says it this way, of what this healing looks like. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to heal those who are broken in heart. Is your heart broken? Are you depressed? Are you rejoicing in each new day that the Lord makes? The psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do we do that? Or would you describe ourselves as just surviving? Just hanging in there. We're just getting by. Are you depressed? Would you describe yourself as sad, discouraged, suicidal? It is for you that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He came to heal the inner core of your being, from which all your thoughts and attitudes and actions and emotions flow from. He came to heal that. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus Christ came to this earth as a baby to offer each one of us the good news, the gospel, that through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven of our sins. The poor, the spiritually poor. Jesus came to this earth to heal our broken hearts. There are many other things that Jesus Christ came to do. But as usual, time is against us. But let me just ask you this. Have you allowed Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? Have you come to a point in your life where you recognize that you are spiritually poor? Again, trust me when I tell you this, that time does not heal or time does not forgive sin. And all those sins then that I committed when I was but a wee little lad, all those sins I committed as a terrible two, all those sins I committed as an adolescent or a teenager, even though they were committed many decades ago, I mean my teenage years, that was truly a lifetime ago, they're still there. Time does not forgive them. Jesus Christ came to rid my life of that huge, awesome sin debt. A sin debt that I could never repay, no matter how hard I try. He came to preach good news to those who are poor, those who are in spiritual debt. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And I would trust that anyone here who has an inner core that is heart sick, that is soul sick, that you would allow Jesus Christ to come and to heal you of that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you just a couple questions here. If the Holy Spirit's maybe been working in your heart by some thoughts that He's put in, maybe some emotions you're feeling, maybe your pulse is racing just a little bit, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, you've come to realize that Christmas, while there's many reasons why people celebrate it, some of them were pretty silly, we put them up on our first slide, but you've come to realize that Christ is about coming to save sinners. Those who are spiritually poor. And you're realizing that you are spiritually poor. You have a sin debt against God that there's no way you can ever pay off. And you'd like Jesus Christ to pay for that sin debt. Would you be willing to raise your hand? By raising of your hand, that just acknowledges and gives me a little eye contact. Well, amen. Good. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. If you want to be saved and have that sin debt removed from you so you can become spiritually rich, have a home in heaven, have peace with God. Is there anybody else that'd be willing to raise their hand and say, yep, that is me, I'd like that. All right, amen. What about the brokenhearted? What about the brokenhearted? Your life, if you were again going to describe the inner core of your being, you would say, yeah, it's broken. It's crushed. It's bruised. But I want Jesus Christ to come and heal my brokenheartedness. Would you be willing to raise your hand? And we can talk after the service. The brokenhearted. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. So, Father, now as we come to You, as we have this one here raise his hand, asking to be healed, asking to be saved, asking to become spiritually rich rather than to be spiritually poor. Lord, we ask that You'd be continuing to work in his heart. And while heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, for the one that raised his hand saying, yes, I would like to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, let's do it this way. If you'd like to be saved from your sin, why don't you pray this prayer along with me? So I'll kind of pray a prayer and you just pray along with me. So dear Father, I thank You, Father, for allowing me to be here today. And for me to be reminded or to know or to recognize that I am spiritually poor. And that I need You to forgive me of my sin debt. I now, Father, ask You by faith to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart, that inner core of my being. I want You to be in control of it. I invite You in. So, Father, I have accepted You by faith and I'm trusting in Your forgiveness. Thank You for forgiving me of my sin. Thank You for giving me a home in heaven. Thank You for letting me be at peace with God. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.